Morning. As I would say in Hungarian, szeretettel, köszöntelek benneteket, Jézus, nevében. I'm sure you all understand that. That means greetings with love, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is indeed a pleasure to share the Word of God with brothers and sisters who I have yet to meet. I'm sure in eternity that we will be able to spend a long time together, fellowshipping with one another and getting to know each other a lot better than we currently do today. I will be using the King James Bible today. I will be speaking not in Hungarian, but in Bostonian. My own children tell me that I have a bad Bostonian accent, or a heavy one. I've tried to correct that over the years as I've taken on public speaking, and still I have trouble parking my car in Harvard Yard, and we put quarters in the meters. So if you need somebody to interpret the tongues this morning, I'm sure somebody here may be able to understand some of the words that I mispronounce. But I'm told in Hungary that the language in heaven will be Hungarian. And they tell me that we will be in heaven forever, and it will take forever to learn the Hungarian language. However, they also tell me that my Bostonian accent helps me very much with the pronunciation of the words. I'm told that I can pronounce words much better than others who have been there for 20 years and still struggle with the language. Well, I'm still struggling with English, so I would appreciate your prayers learning the Hungarian language. I've been recently called to be a full-time missionary, and I currently, before that, worked for Polaroid Corporation for 34 years until they told me that my services were no longer required. I was praying for about 3 years with Frank Schrader, who began the Yohir Hungarian Literature Mission. And he wanted me to take over the missionary endeavor. It's again a literature mission, and I think I was doing more procrastinating than praying. And on our recent return trip from Hungary last year in September, I told Frank that I believe I've made up my mind. I believe the Lord is calling me to this ministry over in Hungary. And tears came to his eyes, and he asked me when I would be able to take over. I told him that I would like to work for about one more year to pay off some financial obligations that I had. Well, I think I was still procrastinating because the Lord in January decided that I had worked too long in the secular field, and now I'm full-time in his service. And I've seen a lot of miraculous things happen in my life in that short period of time, and I am very, very thankful to the Lord. I believe this is where my heart is. I believe it's where my heart was since I first became a Christian in 1981 at the age of about 34 years old. Now I'm 57 years old. And I remember when I was first preaching, I said to the congregation I was preaching to that give or take 30, 35 years, that's what I have left to serve the Lord. You know, 70 years, give or take a few, the Word of God tells us. And now at the age of 57, I'm thinking, well, maybe I have 13 more good years, give or take a few. So I do pray that the Lord's will be done in my life. I do pray that each and everything that I do will be to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can think of no better profession, no better service than serving the Lord Jesus Christ, to give him back, you know, a little bit of what he has given me. And indeed, I count it a great privilege. By the way, I left some prayer cards out back in the vestibule there. Please take one and pray for me if you happen to look at that card. Also, there are some other cards that we made up that have the Hungarian flag on it with the names Yohir. And in the event that you don't understand or know Hungarian, yo means good, here means news. So whenever you hear the word good news, please pray for the Yohir Hungarian Literature Mission. I need prayer. All the missionaries out in the mission field need prayer. Even we here who are in the States need prayer in our daily lives, to dig into the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to understand the Word of God. We recently had a conversation, a few other Christians and myself, and we were talking about the prophet Enoch. Enoch who walked with God, we are told in the Word of God. And he was at the age of 365 years when the Lord took him home to be with him. He didn't die. He was translated. And I've often wondered in my walk with the Lord, what does it mean to walk with God? And I would leave that question with you. I will not answer it, but what does it mean to walk with the Lord God Almighty? Does it mean to have your cup so filled up so that it's overflowing with joy and peace and harmony and whatever else God brings into your life that you cannot but help share His Word with others? So I'll leave that thought with you as far as walking with God. What does that mean? And if you come up with an answer to that word, are you walking with God? Are we walking with God? Am I walking with God? You know, I think it's something that can touch each and every one of our hearts so that if we're having difficulties in this life and we dig into the Word of God and we pray to the Lord God Almighty, if He will but reveal Himself to us, show Himself to us, maybe like He showed Moses His presence, not His face, but His presence. Has He shown Himself to you recently? Enough with the exhortation, but again, maybe some other time I can share the Yohair Hungarian Literature Mission, and I'll just leave it at, please pray for me. I need your prayers. I was asked to give a brief message regarding motherhood or regarding mothers, so I decided to come up with a few passages in Scripture, and why don't we turn to the beginning of Matthew chapter 1, and I hope I can do this justice in the short period of time that we have before us. Matthew chapter 1, I'm sure this is a favorite of all chapters to all Christians. Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, we won't read Luke chapter 3, but it speaks about the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I can find Matthew here. And I think it's important that we understand the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ and those people who took part in bringing Him into the world. And we'll begin with verse 1 of chapter 1 of Matthew. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brethren, and Judah begot Perez and Zerah of Tamar, and Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon of Hur, that had been the wife of Uriah. And the genealogy mentioned here in Matthew, these three women are mentioned, or these four women are mentioned, three by name and one by innuendo. In the book of Luke chapter 3, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, no women are mentioned. It's just all the men going back to Adam as far as the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I would like to do this morning is focus on these women here and mention also a few other women in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's an awesome privilege, okay, the role and the part that women have to play with mankind and in bringing the Savior into the world. I think of the time between the book of Isaiah when it was written that a virgin shall bear a son. You know, his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And I think of all the women who wondered, all the Jewish women wondered, will it be me? Will it be me? as they walked this earth, until finally the Lord came about through the vessel of the Virgin Mary, and he was brought into the world, and he eventually went to the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty for our sins. So with that thought in mind, let's pray. Father, we just pray that your word will go forth this morning, that it will sink deep down into each and every one of our hearts as we talk about the privilege that these women had in being in the line and the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came from heaven and came into the world to do all that he desired to do for mankind. Father, we are told in your word that prior to the foundation of the world being set in its place, that the way of our salvation would be determined. And Father, through the vessels of women, man was born into the world. Oh, Father, we just give you thanks and praise for the part that women have to play in the role of our salvation, especially these women that we will discuss this morning. Oh, Father, when we think of the role of mothers, we think about a special aspect of your Godhead, a special awesomeness that they display as far as your love is concerned. You know, it's a part that a man does not have. It's a makeup that man does not have. It's a part that you have shared with women so that when a man and a woman are joined together, that they become one flesh, and the fruit that's produced from that one flesh is children, and the awesomeness of that new life being brought into the world is just words just do not describe it. Oh, Father, for the many mothers that are in this room this morning and for the many throughout the world, we just give you thanks and praise for them. We give you thanks and praise for the special love that they have, for the nurturing ability that they have. Oh, Father, we give you thanks for each and every one of them this morning. Father, we pray that as we open your word again, that it will sink deep down into our hearts and that each one of us will take away something that we did not know before, something that will be precious to us, something that will draw us closer to you. Oh, Father, indeed, we give you thanks and praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it's a privilege to be able to open God's word and to find some golden nuggets in there, and maybe I can share some of them with you this morning. I read some time ago in the Chicago Tribune. Actually, this article was written in 1981, and it was written sometime around Mother's Day. And it was a group of want articles. If there was a want ad in the newspaper about the responsibilities of a mother or the qualifications that a mother would have, maybe we would read something like this. And this would be maybe a want ad describing infant mother needed. Okay, she must be easygoing, relaxed, a loving type to care for infant. Should enjoy rocking, cuddling, be able to hold baby patiently for 20-minute feedings every 3 or 4 hours without fidgeting. Must be a light sleeper, an early riser. No degree is necessary. Okay, must take all shifts, 7-day work week. No vacation unless they can arrange for their own mother as a temporary substitute. Okay, no opportunity to advance. Okay, the workday is 20 hours a day plus. Okay, how about a year and a half later? Okay, wanted, mother, athlete in top physical condition to safeguard, tireless toddler, needs quick reflexes, boundless energy, and infinite patience. ESP would be helpful, must be able to drive, cook, phone, work despite constant distractions. Workday about 15 to 20 hours. No coffee or lunch breaks unless the child naps. Would consider pediatric nurse with Olympic background. Okay. About 18 months later, position open. Expert in early childhood education to provide stimulating, loving, creative, individualized learning environment for a preschooler. Should have experience in art, music, recreation, be able to speak one foreign language, training in linguistics, psychology, and Montessori desirable. 2 hours off every 5 days when nursery school is in session and child as well. Okay. How about this one? Job stability improves somewhat when a child is between the age of 6 and 12. Title, Good Opportunity for Expert in Recreation, Camping, Indian Arts, All Sports. Should be able to referee to be den mother, room mother, block mother. Public relations skills are essential. Should be able to deal effectively with teachers, PTA officials, and other parents. Knowledge of new math required. Must have no objections to mud, insect collections, pets, neighbors' kids. Considerable free time on school days to do washing, cooking, cleaning, mending, and other such hobbies. Okay. A mother changes occupation again when her child reaches 13 or 14 and must face up to new requirements. Job available for specialist in adolescent psychology with experience in large quantity cooking. Okay, tolerance is chief requirement. Okay, slight hearing loss is helpful. I must furnish own earplugs. Okay, must be unflappable. Should be able to sense when presence is embarrassing child and disappear. Ability in calculus, physics, chemistry, biology, relevant only if recently updated, but must be expert on drug problems, college admissions, acne ecology, and must furnish own car and gas. Okay, after 18 years as a working mother, a woman is qualified for only one more job. Okay, urgently needed, financier to provide money, letters, food, parcels, clothes, music, wheels to college student. No advice necessary. Okay, position may last indefinitely. Ample time left to take ample income-producing work. Okay, the above one ads are for mothers of one child. Okay, mothers of more than one child must be able to work at least two or three more jobs, okay, and be in three or four different places at the same time. Okay, a mother skilled in the knowledge of logistics is highly desirable. Okay, and on difficult days, I will leave you with the advice of Bill Cosby, okay, who has much knowledge and understanding of children. And his advice to mothers in addressing difficult children is for the mother to share these words with the child. I have brought you into this world, and I can take you out of it. Okay. I don't think these want ads are too far-fetched in the role of mothers, especially when it comes to children. I had the privilege of babysitting my granddaughter yesterday, and for 12 hours, I was tired afterwards, okay? And it was a pleasure to give her back to my daughter and son-in-law, as much as I love her, okay? But I'd like us to turn to one more verse in Scripture, and it's in the Gospel of in the Book of Ruth. How many of you have read the Book of Ruth? Isn't it a wonderful love story? You know, somebody has called it the romance of redemption. You know, others call it the greatest love story that was ever written. Others call it the Book of Ruth. Okay. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. And I love this verse. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to turn away from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And this is the part that I love. "And thy God, my God." You know, here's a woman, a widow, that embraced the God of the Jews, the God of Israel, the Lord God Almighty, whom we have embraced, whom we worship and whom we adore. And if you take nothing else away from this message here this morning, just think of these words, "Thy God shall be my God. Thy God, my God." Oh boy, and this story sure does depict that. And Ruth is in the genealogy, in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a Moabite. She was of the seed of Lot. She was of the seed of the incest that he had with his two daughters. You know, but what a beautiful, beautiful picture of the kinsman redeemer in the church as depicted in the book of Ruth. We'll touch a little bit more on that in a few minutes, but I'd like to talk about Eve. You know, I remember in the book of Eve and in the book of Genesis when God first brought Eve into the presence of Adam, Adam said, "Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." You know, he must have been so excited when he first set eyes upon Eve. And they became one flesh. They became one person, so to speak. I believe when God created man and when God created woman, that he put different aspects into man and he put different aspects into woman. And when he brought them together to become one, they become a perfect picture of the Lord God Almighty. And when they produce fruit, when a baby is born to a woman, you know, isn't that like what God did in the Garden of Eden? He produced, he spoke, and we came into existence. Mankind came into existence. Sometimes we look at Sarah and we think, wow, she was 90 years old when she bore Isaac. Okay, but when we think of Eve, she was 130 years old when she brought into this world Seth, who was the godly line that would be the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. You know, what a beautiful picture of love. The love of God bringing Eve into existence and joining them together so that they could become one, one flesh, so that they could produce fruit through the world, or into the world. And then in the line of the genealogy, the next one we have is Sarah. Sarah was is referred to as a princess. She was the wife of Abraham. She came from Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham came from also. Now, in the book of Genesis in chapter 17, you know, God is talking to Abraham, and he tells Abraham that through Sarah, your seed will come forth. Both of you will have a son, okay, and you will call his name Isaac. You know, did Abraham get down and just give God thanks and praise? No, the scripture says that he fell down to the ground and he laughed within his heart. You know, how? You know, I'm 100 years old, he was saying in his heart. You know, and Sarah's 90 years old. And we're going to have a child? But nothing is impossible for God. And when Sarah heard this also, she laughed within her heart also. But what was the result of the promise of God? God who does not lie, God who is truth. You know, Isaac was born into the world. Isaac. Okay, and he married Rebecca. Rebecca was from Mesopotamia. She was the daughter of Nahor. Okay, Abraham's brother. And our brother read the verse that I was going to use for this, Genesis 24. And verses 60 through 67, and I'll just read verse 60. And they blessed Rebekah, her brothers, and her family, and said unto her, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands and of millions." And indeed she is the mother of thousands and of millions. She was in the line of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only to the nation of Israel was she the mother, okay, but she is the mother of all those who would someday embrace Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, I like the part where Rebecca came into the presence or into the field where Isaac was, and she looked out and she asked the servant, you know, is that your master? And he said, yes, you know, that's Isaac. You know, it says that she lifted up her eyes. The scripture says Isaac, when he saw them, he lifted up his eyes. You know, I think it's a beautiful picture of Rebecca representing the church and lifting up her eyes to the Lord God Almighty. Her Lord in this aspect was Isaac, and then we have Isaac lifting up his eyes. I think it's a picture. I think it points out or symbolizes a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ lifting up his eyes to us. You know, somebody pointed out, I believe in our service this morning, but for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, everywhere we read in the scripture, it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have Rebecca in the line of the genealogy of Christ. She had the privilege of being in this line. And then we have Leah, the hated wife of Jacob, or the one that wasn't loved like Rachel was loved. Okay, but her, I think it was her fifth son, her fourth son, who was Judah. Judah, who represents the lion of God, who represents the tribe from which the Lord Jesus Christ would eventually come from. Okay, Leah had the privilege of being in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have Tamar, who was had a relation with Judah, and the fruit that came forth from her was Perez. And Perez we find in the genealogy of Christ also. You know, Tamar was, some scholars feel, a Canaanite. Okay? A Canaanite, and she was not from the Jewish line, but God, in his infinite wisdom, in his mercy, and in his grace, allowed her to have children. Okay? Then we have Rahab from Jericho, another Canaanite in the line of Jesus Christ. And the words that she spoke in Joshua 2 and verse 11 were, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Okay, she had faith in the Lord God Almighty. She had faith in the God of Israel. She is also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in what we refer to as the Hall of Fame of the saints, or the patriarchs. Rahab, in addition to Sarah, is mentioned in the Hall of Fame. Okay, and then we have Ruth the Moabite, and her name means to draw together. Okay, she is a picture of the Gentiles. You know, and she married a Jew. Think of the Jewish nation and the Gentiles coming together under the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, she came into the family of Elimelech and Naomi. Elimelech, his name means "My God is King." Naomi's name means sweetness. So we have a picture of the sweetness of our God who is King. She married one of their sons who was Malon. Okay, Malon's name means sickness or sickly. Okay, and then the other son was Chilion, and his name means, I believe, pining or always complaining about something. And I struggled for a bit when I was reading the book of Ruth. And why did they name their sons, you know, these names, sickly or pining? And a brother said to me, maybe it's because that was what the nation of Israel was like in that day and age. We know that they left Bethlehem to go out to Moab or Edom to farm and to hopefully make a living, because there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem. There was a famine in the land of Israel. So this person whose name was "My God is King" and "Sweetness," his wife's name, they left that place, and this is where Ruth came into the picture. And Ruth married Malon, and even though Naomi tried to tell her to go back to her people when she was going back to Bethlehem after they all died, you know, her words again were, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." I think it's a beautiful picture of faith. And think what she went back to. Here are two widows going back to Bethlehem. They had no money. They had no way of making a living. Ruth had to go out into the fields to glean the crops of the field. Do you realize what back-breaking work that is? Even for a young woman like Ruth, you know, they were constantly bent over. I know in my day and age, at the age of 57, if I was constantly bent over all day working in the field, I probably wouldn't be able to get straight again. But all day long she would work in the field because she embraced the Lord God of Israel. She was rewarded with the marriage to Boaz and eventually to the son that would be born to them, to Obed, Jesse, and then David, and then Solomon. Solomon, who is the product of David and Bathsheba. Okay, what was the name? Bathsheba. Some people feel that she was a Hittite and not a Jew. Okay, so the product of them was Jedediah. Okay, Jedediah's name means beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. So Bathsheba was in the line in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the last part of our message, which is Mary. Mary, you know, who we are told in Isaiah 14, okay, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Many of these Jewish women that were living in Mary's day and age must have been wondering, when is the Messiah going to come? Will I be the one to do it? And then when the angel appeared to the Virgin Mary, she was in shock at the revelation that was before her. How can I have a child if I have not been with a man, she told the angel. And the angel basically said that nothing is impossible for God. Okay, you know, almost like pieces of a puzzle. Everything that we are told in the Old Testament was falling together in this one time, in this period of time when the angel appeared to Mary and then the Holy Spirit came upon her. Okay, we are also told in the book of Isaiah in chapter 9 and verse 6, his other names would be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And indeed, we know the Lord Jesus Christ was born into the world, but when she first got this news, when the Holy Spirit first came upon her, what did she do? She went to see her sister Elizabeth. And I love this portion of the Word of God. Well, why don't we turn to that in Luke chapter 1 in verse 39. Luke chapter 1 in verse 39. And this is a familiar passage to each and every one of us, okay? Luke chapter 1 and verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah, and saluted Elizabeth. By the way, the name Zechariah means God remembers. And the name Elizabeth means oath of God. So God remembers his oath. He remembers what he wrote in the Old Testament. And he was bringing it to pass in this day and age. So she entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass. What does a woman want to do when they know they are with child? Hey, they want to go share it with everybody else, the wonderful news about what has taken place within them. We read in the book of Jeremiah that God knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. Before he even knit us together. Not only just the physical parts of our bodies, but what we have in our minds. You know, the gifts that he has given us to understand him. The thirst that he has given us to know him. You know, he knew us before we were even formed within our mother's wombs. And here is Mary. She is with child. Okay, the child is already being formed within her. The child is already beginning to grow within her. This is God Almighty in the womb of Mary, about to come into the world in about 9 more months. And it says, she saluted Elizabeth, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Just think, John the Baptist was about 6 months old in his mother's womb. Okay, and the babe leapt within her womb. She could feel him leaping within her womb. Think of the presence of the Holy Spirit in that situation and the joy of that situation that the Savior was going to come into the world through the womb of Mary. Through the womb of Mary. Now, think of the shepherds when they heard the news of the birth of Jesus and they ran to see, you know, this marvelous thing that was taking place. Okay, and she spake with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Okay, and 9 months later, Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, okay, laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had come into the world, and there was no room for him. He came unto his own, and his own knew him not. The light was in the world, but yet they could not see it. The light that came into the world, as far as the nation of Israel was concerned in that day and age, they would have preferred to wipe it out. They killed many babies and infants in that day and age to try and liquidate the Lord Jesus Christ who came into the world. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior which is Christ the Lord." You know, maybe we give thanks and praise to the mother of our Lord and Jesus Christ and to all the mothers who have brought forth fruit into this world, who brought forth each and every one of us, because without our mothers, we would not be here today. There is much that each and every one of us can give thanks for. And if your mother is, you know, in this room here this morning, you know, and you haven't given her a hug or a kiss in a long time, I would highly, highly recommend that you give her a hug and a kiss and let her know that you love her. My mother died a year ago, January 6th, and I cannot embrace my mother and give her a hug and tell her how much I love her and how thankful I am for bringing me into the world. But if your mother is here today, you can do that. You can do that. Do not let the opportunity pass. You know, give your mother thanks. Give your mother thanks for the many, many hours that she spent when you were an infant child, when she carried you in her womb, when she carried you in her arms for hours on end, when she fed you, when she changed your diapers, you know, when she wiped away your tears, when she read you stories, when she just hugged you and kissed you and told you how much she loved you. You know, tell your mother how much you love her. Let's give thanks.